But now we see Q1 results, Q2 results that we're producing a little more gold than planned. And I think more importantly, or as importantly, our all-in sustaining costs are quite a bit under what that original guidance was for. So I think, Kinross is it's a big company. They're going to be conservative. They gave conservative guidance, and we're beating that guidance. So we're producing more gold at lower costs, and obviously the gold price continues to go up. So that marginal, the margin on those ounces continues to increase. So yeah, I think things are going well. We're generating good cash flows. We're getting good. I think we're generating about close to $10 of free cash on an annual basis per share.
Rick Van Nieuwenhuyse. Did I get that right, Rick?
You did.
Did? I'm going to leave this in. Kandango or good afternoon or good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Andy, good to see you again. Doing well. We're having a good year, so.
You are. Really good to see you, by the way. It's been too long. It's been I last talked to you in May, I want to say. And let's talk about that. You guys have had really quite the run since in the stock price since the spring, since March. You guys are outperforming your peers, but I think really the credit goes to how you guys are executing here. And you've had two really good quarters of execution. So tell me about that. What do you have going on and what's made the biggest difference?
I'd say, the Manh Choh mine is kind of up on step now. It's, when you start up any new project, they're always going to have things that when you start up that you have to sort of fix and address. There were a number of things that at the end of last year that we were confronted with, and share price took a hard hit with the guidance that Kinross gave. But now we see Q1 results, Q2 results that we're producing a little more gold than planned. And I think more importantly, or as importantly, our all-in sustaining costs are quite a bit under what that original guidance was for. So I think, Kinross it's a big company. They're going to be conservative. They gave conservative guidance, and we're beating that guidance. We're producing more gold at lower costs. And obviously the gold price continues to go up. So that marginal, the margin on those ounces continues to increase. So yeah, I think things are going well. We're generating good cash flows. We're getting good. I think we're generating about close to $10 of free cash on an annual basis per share. That's up there with the Royal Golds and the Agnico Eagles and the Newmonts in terms of cash flow per share.
Yeah, it's been fantastic, really. And I was looking at the numbers there, but I want to go back to how did you get your costs so low, if you would, if you can work that a little bit out for me, and then tell me, do you expect that to happen throughout the rest of the year?
I'll just kind of break down our costs in a general sense. A third of our costs are related to mining. A third of our costs are related to transporting the ore between the mine and Manh Choh and the processing facility at Fort Knox. And a third of our costs are milling. I'd say that's 30, 30, 30, and then say 10% is just sort of administrative overhead, et cetera. And so the mining costs of our mining has always been pretty much on budget, on plan. The transportation, again, last year we had some issues with the bridge rate restrictions that were put in place. And so we saw that portion of the cost projected with the projection that was going to go up significantly. And so that's where we've been able to sort of address some of the workout of a different process for the loading and unloading and the time it takes for the overall transportation thing process to take place. So we've gotten that dialed in now. So those costs are coming in lower than that projection that we gave last year, the guidance that we gave last year. And then the other improvement's been in the mill. And this is just working all the details out in the mill. One of the things was higher moisture content. So they did some mitigation around the pit and around the stockpile areas to keep the water away from from those areas and building up. And it, what happens is if the water builds up and then it freezes, you're not removing it at that point. And so those were some of the things that we were identifying as areas to fix. And so now we're seeing moisture contents that are roughly half of what they were. So all those things combined, I'd say that the big improvements have been on sort of getting the transportation piece dialed in and looking at, you know, reducing costs and baking in efficiencies there. And then in the mill, you know, mill run rates being, you know, up 9,000-10,000 tons a day rather than 7,000-8,000 tons a day. Those are, I think, the big areas where the efficiencies have taken over. And again, now we're operating, we're in the middle of our third batch for the year right now. But as we've seen with the Q1 and Q2 results, basically each quarter it has a batch that's processed in the middle of that quarter. So, you know, we're in the middle of the third one now. We won't get results. We'll know how many tons went through and the average grade and recovery by probably about the end of September, but we won't have the financials for it for months or so later. So, but it, you know, it's lining up to be another good, strong quarter in Q3.
That is music to my ears. And to all my viewers and listeners that don't know, I am a shareholder, a very happy shareholder of Contango Ore. And also Contango Ore is a sponsor of Natural Resource Stocks. I hope a very happy sponsor. Rick and I are also very friendly off camera as well. And I advise all to my viewers and listeners to certainly reach out to Rick, the Contango Ore. They're very, very, they're just good people, very, very approachable Alaskan people, if you would. But Rick, let's take it back to the stock itself. So you had a lot of hedges, and I want to say when I spoke to you last October, and I was reading a lot of those hedges are going away, they're being paid off, or you're just bringing gold into the marketplace. Talk to me about the upside here and how you're taking advantage of the upside price in gold here. Are you capturing most, if not all of that?
So, in order to get this project built, we are a startup company, so we have to take out some loans from the bankers to get it's about $70 million to pay for our share of getting Manh Choh into production. This was when gold was sort of $1,800, $1,900, but everybody thought it was going to $1,000 or $1,100. That was the attitude in the market. So equity wasn't really a possibility. The markets just weren't friendly and open to raising that level of equity. So we took on the debt, and obviously bankers want to cover their downside, and so they made us hedge. So yeah, we're just delivering into the hedge book. This year we're delivering about 70% of the gold to the head into the hedges, and 30% is sold at spot. So to answer your question directly, it's about 30% of our gold is exposed to the spot price. By the end of the year, our hedge book will be about 42,000 ounces. We started with 124. So, that's our main objective is deal with the hedges. We're actually looking at ways to just take them out completely. That'll be, something we've been working on, and if we can get the right kind of, combination of equity and debt put together, that'll be something we'll take a hard look at. Obviously we feel very strongly about gold, and obviously you have to take a position on gold to do that. But I think when we put the hedges in place, the hedge book is at a little over $2,025 on average. And, again, the gold price was $1,850 or so when we did that. So I don't think anybody, if you'd asked anybody at that time, gold's going to be $3,400. They'd probably take you to the doctor.
Right. Well, the thing is too, is you pay most of that off, or a significant portion of that off. And so you still are, to my viewers and listeners, and this is how I analyze Contango Ore, there's still a significant exposure to the upside, significant exposure. And then Rick and Contango Ore have been very aggressive in paying down the debt, paying so they can lift the hedges, or just so the hedges won't be an issue. And they're not an issue right now. but won't be, they'll be able to participate in all of it, if you would, the whole upside of gold, if you would.
Yeah, that's what we want that's what we want to get to as quickly as we can. So that's why we're decided not to drill Lucky Shot this year, because we want to basically put all the cash towards delivering in the hedges and paying down the debt. So I think we'll be down to about $15 million of debt by the end of the year. And like I just said, a hedge book would be about 42,000. So,
and congratulations. Anyway,
again, we're looking at ways to just get rid of it 100%. So then we can just get moving quickly on our other projects you know, start building the amount of gold we're producing. You know, with Lucky Shot, we think we can get that up to 40,000 ounces of annual production in a 2-year time frame. And that'll get us to 100,000 ounces of production. And the only sustaining cost is what I'm really pleased with. You know, long term, our life of mine all in sustaining costs is $1,400 an ounce, and that's what we've been doing this year. So I think that's a good number to get dialed in. And we don't have, I mean, one of the big cost centers we have in transportation is the price of fuel. And our economics were based on $100 barrel oil, and you know, we're seeing $65 barrel oil. So that's one of the reasons why our all-in sustaining costs are keeping low, is that the price of fuel is you know, isn't inflating. And I think that's an interesting dynamic in the overall economics of the country. Is, yeah, a lot of things are inflating, but the price of energy isn't, and price of energy goes into everything. So we'll continue to monitor that.
So I'm glad that you said that. And I will add to all my viewers and listeners. So I look at what I look for as an investment. This is not advice, but what I just, how I analyze things is, I either want a startup, because that's in the beginning of the song curve. I want deep value that I see as deep value in the middle of the song curve. Or I want to produce somebody going into production or in production. And it's really important, if you're in production right now, with the, and I have many of these conversations with different CEOs of gold companies. For lack of a better word, you're just printing money at these levels, at these prices. You are making so much money. And it's what you just said, Rick. It's because one of the reasons is because of the energy being where it is right now. So very well done. And again, I am a shareholder. I'm a very happy shareholder. Another thing that attracted me to you was really your model. You're on native lands, which are very friendly if you do it right, meaning you have great relationships and you take the time with them. But talk about that. Talk about permitting. Talk about your model and what all that looks like. And yeah, with the state of Alaska and the native corporations.
Yeah, so our Manh Choh mine is on lands that are owned by the Tetlin tribe. So it's a tribal organization. Very traditional, that owns a very large piece of real estate. I think there's probably one of the largest consolidated landownings in the country. Yeah, so it's about the size of the state of Rhode Island. So it's a big, big area. We have that under lease. We're the first group, Contango is the first group that they did business with, of any sort, in fact, but just certainly the first mining group that was in there. So, we receive a royalty. We've been working with them for, oh geez, more than 15 years now. And so, one, developed good relationships, but you know, good training and advancement sort of opportunities for people in the local area to get a good job that, you know, on average mining jobs pay about $120,000 a year in Alaska. So, that's worked out really well. And our Lucky Shot project is on private patented land. They're old federal mining claims that were patented. And our Johnson Tract project is located on lands owned by Cook Inlet Regional Corporation, one of the 12 regional Alaska Native corporations. Again, very, very good partners to work with. They selected these lands specifically for mining, the regional native corporations. And that's basically because the state and the federal government took all the lands. They got first pick, I guess, and took all the lands that had oil and gas potential. They're very good partners. I haven't worked on federal lands for 30 years. just because the permitting on federal lands is so difficult. There's a lot of new reforms that are being proposed with the recognition that we need to get back in the game in terms of producing critical metals in the country, and we're getting our butts kicked by China. And I think that's now becoming a bipartisan issue in Congress. In fact, I was just participating in a roundtable in Anchorage. The House of Representatives Natural Resources Committee was in Alaska for the whole week, looking at how we do business in Alaska, and what can they do to, what can Congress do to speed up the permitting process? Because I think everybody recognizes that it's broken. And it's not just for mining that it's broken. It's if you want to build a windmill, or you want to build a solar power plant or a new AI center, the permitting process just is broken. And so they've actually developed a new act. It's referred to as SPEED. I'll just read it to you. It's standardizing permitting and expediting economic development. So Congress is aware that the permitting process is broken. We gave testimony on that to the roundtable. We're in the middle of that. A number of other companies in Alaska are as well. So it's good to see that there's a bipartisan commission that's focused on this issue. Maybe in the future I'll work on federal lands, but as I've said, our business model is not to work on federal lands, work on private lands, work on state lands, because you can get things permitted much quicker. And of course, with our direct shipping or model, we're just not permitting a lot of things because we're not building a mill and a tailings facility associated properties. We're mining high grades that can afford the transportation to an existing already permitted facility, just like we've done with the Manh Choh project. And we have the plans to execute the same for our Lucky Shot project and our Johnson Tract projects. These are, again, high grades, good quality ore bodies. Lucky Shot's fully permitted, and we're working on Johnson Tract permitting right now. And I think by this time next year, we'll be putting in the exploration tunnel and starting to get the drill program underway a year later.
Fantastic. So that's really the, you already have a lot of upside, but there will be more flow with the upside here, just with getting more drilling done next year, then, correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, we have a basis, a five-year plan to increase our gold production from 660,000 ounces annual production currently from Manh Choh, and that's for the next 4 years, or four more years. And then getting Lucky Shot on track, that gets us to about 100,000 ounces of production, and then getting Johnson Tract on in production will get us about 200,000. So that's our growth profile based on our currently defined resources that we need to get now changed into reserves at Lucky Shot and Johnson Tract. That'll be some time, and like when we get to the permitting process at Johnson Tract, we'll get back to drilling there. And say next year we'll be generating strong enough cash flows that we'll feel good about getting the Lucky Shot drill program back underway. And of course, the underground's already in place at Lucky Shot. So.
Excellent. I want to get your thoughts on what investors should be looking for over the next quarter or two that you can talk about. But before you talk about that, and you're not expecting this, I dropped an interview with our friend Rick Rule. This was, I want to say, about a year ago. I'll put that in all of the show notes here, so all of our viewers and listeners, if they want, they can listen to that interview. And I asked him about three gold companies, and one of them was Contango Ore. I was not an investor at the time, but I became one after that interview, really, to be quite frank with you. And Rick was glowing of Rick Contango Ore. So I'll put all of that in the show notes for all of our viewers and listeners that want to listen to that. So yes, give us what you can talk about, how people should be, why should people be paying attention over the next two quarters?
Sure. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we're in the middle of our batch three for the year. Every quarter gets in the middle of the quarter. We're basically processing the ore from Manh Choh on a campaign basis. So by the end of September, we should be reporting You know, we process this many tons at this grade with this kind of recovery. And then about a month or so later, we'll be able to report Q3 financials, you know, later in, what is that, October, November timeframe. And then, of course, the same thing for Q4. We'll have, you know, in November, we'll start processing the batch for Q4. And, you know, we're projecting 15,000 ounces each batch. The first two were above guidance. And again, lower cost than that original guidance. Original guidance was $1,625 per ounce, all in sustaining costs. And we've been around for more like $1,400. So, you know, that if we're going to continue that trend, and of course, you know, with a higher gold price, the profit margin goes up. So, we're in a very strong position. As I mentioned earlier, we are looking at ways to just take out the hedges completely. So stay tuned for some, you know, news on that. And I think, as I mentioned, you know, the mining operation is pretty much up on step. The other areas would be on, permitting at Johnson Tract. We're advancing on, the main permitting effort there is on, getting the exploration tunnel, permitted so that we can get underground, build the, basically a mile long tunnel, a kilometer and a half long tunnel to get in a position to be able to do all the infill drilling for, a feasibility level mine plan, which would take about a year to get the tunnel completed and about a year to get, the feasibility mine plan done and obviously a transportation plan. So, you know, lots going on. Permitting is the, what I call the boring part of the Lassonde curve. I think in our case, again, because we're not building a mill and a tailings facility, and right now we're just permitting an underground exploration tunnel, it'll serve as the dual purpose of being the main draw point for mining the ore when we get to that point. But next stage is advanced exploration to get the feasibility study done. And I think, you know, we can get that done in a year. And I expect to get the permits on that by the end of this year. So get ourselves lots of planning room ahead of us over the winter months and hit the ground running next spring to get the tunnel underway. So I think both Lucky Shot and Johnson Tract will be the next mines in production in Alaska. And that's our objectives. Lon Cho, Lucky Shot, Johnson Tract.
Fantastic. So Rick, if people want to find out more about you, where do they go? What's your website? Where are you traded at? I know that, and it's a very strong listing, but where are you traded at and what's your ticker symbols?
So we're a Fairbanks based, US listed, NYSE American, ticker symbol is CTGO. Please go to our website. It's contangoore.com. And when you write Contango Ore, there's two O's next to each other. So it looks a little strange, but that is the correct spelling. And, that'll get you to our website. There's an info apps, email there that if you have questions, just email that in there and we'll get those, we'll get those answered.
Excellent. All right. Thanks so much, Rick. Looking forward to having you on again as soon as I can. And, yeah, great to see you. And I'll put everything that you just said in the show notes on the YouTube channel, the Apple and Spotify podcast channels. Thanks again.
Good to see you again, Andy. Thanks, Rich.
You bet.